And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, Tex Mars' assistant and radio show producer. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Recently, Tex Mars was interviewed by Jeff Rentz on the topic of Israel and how Harry Truman tricked the Zionists. The title of this week's show is Israel is Not a Jewish State, How President Harry Truman Tricked the Zionists and Became an Anti-Semitic Pariah.
Tex Mars is with us tonight. Wish we could get him more often, but he is incredibly busy. I just got his latest newsletter, Power of Prophecy, last week. Truth and Lies is the lead title. And boy, are there a lot of lies out there. Truth is on the run. It's not going to disappear ever, but it is certainly being given quite a beating. There's a lot going on in Ukraine. As you know, we've been following that under a microscope for a long time now. And it does appear that the Zionist West is going to force Vladimir Putin and Russia to do something to stop what appears, for all intents and purposes, to be a massive frontal assault ordered by Poroshenko and the Ratzinyuk himself, of course, with Zionist encouragement, if not downright orders. The American military command due to land in, with some kind of a contingent in Kiev this week. It is quite clear that the war for the East is far from over, and it would seem that with the loss of allegedly 27 tanks and 20 plus APCs of the Ukraine army just yesterday, inflicted by the Eastern separatists, Russian speakers, that this is going to be a big and bad and ugly situation. We're watching it closely for you. Tex, welcome back to the program. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great, and it's good to be with you again.
Thank you, sir. Always my pleasure. You've selected a topic that I am frankly elated to see, because this is something that no one talks about. You're going to be the first person on this program to tell it like it is regarding the Zionist state of Israel, a privately owned enterprise, basically, that was spawned by Bolshevism and communism and is owned and presided upon by you-know-who. So take it away, and let's get into it.
Well, Jeff, this is an important subject because it's really come to the news over the last couple of months, because Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, is desperate to get his legislature, the Knesset, to pass a new law. What would that law say? It would say that Israel is a Jewish state.
Correct.
Now, we've all thought, you know, Americans, we all think, well, of course it's a Jewish state. It's for the Jews. I mean, they only allow Jews to immigrate. You can't go live in Israel unless you're a Jew. Then you have to be a special kind, you know, Jew. You can't be a Christian Jew, for example. They don't allow Christians to immigrate to Israel. There's all kinds of laws. You can't own any land if you're not a Jew. Basically you can't do anything if you're not a Jew. Now, there are 1.6 million Arabs living in Israel and some 7 million Jews. But there are many other Arabs that are living in, you know, undefined areas that we would call Palestine. So they actually are outnumbering the Jews.
Uh-huh.
So the Jews do not want to give independence, of course, to Palestine, to the Palestinians.
No way.
And they keep in subjection. They're in an open-air concentration camp.
Mm-hmm.
And they built a huge wall, like the Berlin Wall. They call the partition. And it's incredible. It's a police state-type wall to keep the Palestinians within their little bitty assigned areas. There are highways that Palestinians can't even travel in. So to get to work, you go through a series of barricades and blockades and all of that. So it of course is not at all an equal society with equal rights. It's Jews only. Now, Americans have always thought this, but you know, in research on my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, I discovered that Harry Truman, our president, made sure that the state of Israel would not be a Jewish state. Now, this is the undeclared secret. And I've got it on page 124 of my book, the actual document that Harry Truman signed May 14th, 1948. He even put down below, he put he coded it 6/11.
Huh.
Now that was supposedly was the time when he signed it. 6/11 p.m. 6/11. Actually, that's a Kabbalistic code. He knew of it. He was a 33rd degree Mason. And I'd like to reveal to your audience what that means in a little bit later in the program. But here's the point. He signed this document. It was brought into his office, May 14th, 1948. The exact day now when the over in Israel or Palestine, as it was called then, David Ben-Gurion, the new leader, declared the independence, the Declaration of Independence. Now he declared that Israel would be a state of Israel and would be Jewish as well. But Truman did not go along with that. It says this agreement, this is what it says now, this agreement, this government has been informed that a Jewish state has been proclaimed in Palestine and recognition has been requested to us by the provisional government. Therefore, the United States recognizes the provisional government as a de facto authority of the, and then new Jewish state was typed in. But it is lined through by Truman himself. In his hand, he took and he lined through the words New Jewish State. He put a little carrot in and he wrote it in his own handwriting, State of Israel. So he made it a state. That was the formal recognition. We declared we recognize the state of Israel. They asked us to recognize the Jewish state. He would not do so. And they were really angry at him and said, why won't you let us be the Jewish state? He said, and this is, now I want to quote him because, you know, I've got the documentation on this. He said, you cannot be a democracy if you're a Jewish state. I'm not going to go along with a fiction. Okay? You cannot be a Jewish, a democracy. See, they claim they're both a democracy and a Jewish state. He said, you cannot be both. It's impossible. Do one or the other. I've chosen for you to be the state of Israel because we will not have a Jewish state.
Right.
That would be a theocracy. In other words, led by a religion.
Correct.
No equal rights at all, but whoever is Jewish is, you know, the top dog. So he refused, and this is, I've got it in my book, page 124, Harry Truman approved 6/11. That's what he approved it. Now, Netanyahu has got his cabinet to approve it. This is a big controversy. Every Jewish organization in the world is chiming in with what they think. And Netanyahu says we must be a Jewish state because if we're not a Jewish state, then the Arabs, the Palestinians are gaining more and more, you know, recognition around the world.
Sure.
And the people of the world are now, basically, he said, they're not clueless anymore. See, Israel has pretended to be a Jewish state all of these years. It is not. In fact, there has never been a law passed in Israel making it a Jewish state. That's what he wanted. In 2015, he wants the Knesset to approve a law, the very first law. It will be part of their basic law, which is sort of like constitution, which says that, yes, we are a Jewish state. Now, the problem is that the Jews did not want anyone to know about this, and so they're very angry at Netanyahu for bringing this out in the open. They've been trying to pretend that they were democracy. You know, you hear all the time, well, we have to support Israel. They're the only democracy in the Middle East. But he says, no, we're not a democracy. We're a Jewish state. But if you're a Jewish state, then America has no reason to assist a religious state. And the world will not go along with a religious state. So he's got a little problem. He wants to declare it a Jewish state, but right now they've actually shelved the matter. The Knesset has sort of put it to rest for a few more months to see what they're going to do. Everybody's frightened over in Israel. They want to be a Jewish state, but they're afraid if they declare themselves a Jewish state for the very first time in their history, they will be a theocracy and not a democracy. Now, of course, this you think this would not create problems, but Jeff, words have consequences.
Well, they used to.
They do. And you remember, we declared that everyone had equal rights in America, and the blacks said, wait just a minute. We want our rights. There are no equal rights in America. You know, you've got to give the blacks full and equal rights. Well, we did that. So now the Arabs are saying, you're not a legitimate state, you're a criminal state. You declare you go around and sneak around and say we're a Jewish state in all these speeches, but you're not. You know, they really are a Jewish state, but you don't admit it because you don't want people to know you're a criminal state.
Sure.
And now the legitimacy has come forth too. People are saying, for the first time, mine is the first book to ever, you know, include this information. And this is getting out. Now I'm beginning to see some, Palestinian organizations and some Arab organizations saying, wait, we didn't know anything about this. That Israel was never declared a Jewish state. Now, this is quite an interesting thing, and I'd like to get into, if we could, talking about who really, how did this happen? How did Truman even approve this? By the way, the same day, August 14, 1948, over in the Kremlin, Joseph Stalin also was signing a recognition statement. And within a couple hours of Truman, he also gave his approval. That shows you that the Jews were working both the White House and the Kremlin at the same time.
Same time. Yeah.
Same time. Now, why would they work with the Kremlin? First of all, it was the other superpower, although the United States was greater. And second of all, the state of Israel did not call itself that, just like it didn't really declare itself a Jewish state. But it was a communist state. It was founded by a communist. Its first prime minister, David Ben-Gurion, of Poland, by the way.
Yeah.
The Poles came in. What happened was Stalin sent the Poles in, all the Poles, but we know the Polish Jews are actually Khazars. Now, we know that from my book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline, from the research of genetic scientists like Dr. Ilan Elhaik of Israel and
right.
so forth.
Right.
So what happened, these Khazars were instructed, or let's just say allowed by Joseph Stalin to take armaments and to come to Israel. And meanwhile, the United States looked the other way as over 100,000 Jews that had been in camps during World War II were allowed to go and populate Israel. At that time, there were about 150,000 Jews in Israel, and there were 700,000 Palestinians. So think about that. They were outgunned, you might say. There were 3.5 times as many Palestinians.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's like healthy cells.
Could not win by an election. Now, the same right. time, what people don't understand was the United Nations in 1947 approved that there would be two states, nation states, in the area called Palestine. One would be for the Arabs. One would be for the Jews. But, of course, Israel did not want there to be a Palestine for the Arabs, for the Palestinians. So they went in and they did not, the interesting thing is, They did not define where their territory started and stopped, because they knew that the instant they got to Israel, they were going to start a war. They were going to kill off and drive out the Arabs.
They knew.
And when they did that, then they, with all the land that they took, they would say, this is Israel. So Truman, neither Truman nor Stalin defined exactly what the land of Israel would be. So it was left sort of like, you know, yeah, you got all this land over there, but we're not going to tell you where it starts or where it ends. So this was their game. They went over there, and they went from village to village, killing, marauding, stealing the land, and that's what they did. 700,000, the 700,000 Arabs all fled.
Sure.
Only a few were left, and then they began to trickle back in, barely back in. So we have to understand this. Now, I want people to understand that why did Truman do this? His cabinet was against it. The State Department was against it. Americans generally didn't care at that time. No more than 2% of all Americans were Jews. Now, why did Truman step in and even make it a state of Israel? Well, I would like for people to go to Google. I'm going to give them the right where to go here. This is from the Jewish side. It turns out that at the Harry S. Truman Library and Museum in Independence, Missouri, the Truman Library, they have an oral history interview with a man named Abraham Feinberg. Now, Mr. Feinberg gave an interview on August 23rd, 1973, and the tape of that is at the library. People can go and check out a copy or listen to it at the library, but online there is a transcript of it. And I read it again today, you know, to sort of, you know, get myself up to date on it, because I'd read it when I was doing this book. And Jeff, even from the, you know, they were trying to hide them. Now, who was Abraham Feinberg? Well, it turns out that he was the financier. He was the money bag man. He was a Jewish spy. He was one of the top Jewish spies in America. He was a very, very rich man. He owned several businesses, many of them crooked. Well, one of them was you hear about how stockings were in great demand among the people of Europe after World War II.
Of course.
Well, he owned the stocking company, and he sold the stockings that went over to Europe. That was one of the things he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very, very rich man from New York. But Abraham Feinberg was what they call a psionym. A psionym. He was a spy. He went to he calls it a private meeting, where Truman went to a hotel and met with just 15 billionaire Jews. 15. And Feinberg actually admits it. Now think about this. This is at the Truman Library, and he said Truman walked in the door. Now why didn't he meet the White House with these? He didn't want people to know the Jews were going to meet with him, you see. Mm-hmm. And he told them, I'm going to lose the election unless I have your help. Let me tell you, gentlemen, what I need. I need money. I need money. And he said, I want to go in a train and go across America in a campaign train. I need money for that. And I need other money besides. I leave it to you. And he left. That's what he said. I need money. He went and met with these 15 Jews. Well, Abraham Feinberg then rounded up the Jews and said, okay, let's give the guy money. They paid. Abraham Feinberg gave him $100,000. That paid for the campaign train. And Feinberg says at every stop he made, we had all of the Jewish merchants in that town get all of their money together that they had. They brought it in suitcases to the campaign train and gave it to Truman
and
on the train.
And that's how the Jews bought Harry Truman.
That's right. Now, he evidently guaranteed $2 million himself. How do I know this? Well, because Gore Vidal, said that John F. Kennedy told him this personally. Said that's what happened. Truman got a $2 million bribe from, you know, Feinberg. Now, 3 years ago, the FBI files came out on this, and they pretty well say the same thing. They said that Feinberg was one of the top Jewish spies in America, that he later went to work for the Nation of Israel as a spy. Mm-hmm. And they talk about how many networks he had, how many, you know, CINM he had working for him.
We should mention, Tex, that the CINM are worldwide. In fact, most active Jews consider themselves at least affiliated with the CINM movement. They're all working for their home country. They're Jewish first, Israeli first, and that's what the CINM is. It's an extraordinarily well and diversified worldwide spy and espionage network. It's really remarkable. Nobody knows about it.
No, they don't. But it's interesting that, Feinberg even talks about a little bit about CINM in this interview. It's an interesting interview because he remember it's at the Truman Library, and he's not going to say anything bad about Truman. In fact, he sort of liked Truman. He said he was a great man and all this stuff, because Truman obviously was the one who recognized Israel. A number of government officials just up and quit. By the way, Feinberg says that his contact at the White House, mm-hmm, was a man named Niles, N-I-L-E-S. I think it's David, mm-hmm, or Jerry. I think it's David Niles,
right?
Who he said was was given the job of Secretary for Migrant Affairs. Well, and he said, I worked very close with Niles at the White House, and I would always go to see him when I wanted things done. And it's just interesting. I have a picture also. There's one picture of Abraham Feinberg with Harry Truman and his wife, Bess Truman. I have another article in my book, beginning on page 127.
Now, which book is this? You've got many books.
Okay. This is Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star.
Okay. We're still on that one. All right.
Yes, this is the one where I specifically go and do everything about Israel. About his, the Israeli religion, the Star of David, what its real meaning is.
It's
the Kabbalah.
Yeah, if I might.
Fascist Christianity.
Yeah.
And it goes into how Israel was formed as a nation, how this all came about.
It's as you've said, though, I don't mean to steal your punchline, but it's a communist state.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. It's interesting that, now listen to this. This was, now, by the way, I want the FBI files, I show on page 127, were declassified on March the 3rd, 2011. Feinberg was quoted by the FBI as admitting, quote, I gave Truman what he needed, money. That's a quote from Feinberg.
That's pretty amazing.
But listen to this, Jeff, this is amazing. In its 1952 file, the FBI reported that Feinberg was, in fact, an Israeli spy who used his money to clandestinely obtain, that means steal, uranium and other nuclear materials to help Israel make its first atomic weapons. Feinberg met regularly with the Mossad and the Shin Bet spy chiefs, Colonel Ben Razi, Reuben Shiloh, Teddy Kollek. He led a coterie of 70 Israeli agents operating in the United States. And the U.S. government was fully aware of Feinberg's criminal activities. They followed him very carefully. But Truman and Eisenhower told Hoover, who was the head of the FBI, not to prosecute. Let the guy go. But President Kennedy evidently had intended, he was not very charitable toward these Israeli spies. Had he lived, he was prepared to move swiftly early in his second term to indict these spies and force Israel to desist from its nuclear bomb activity and divest itself of the 587 tons of uranium it had stolen from U.S. reserves. And so you can see why they wanted to murder the guy, that Israel certainly was involved in the assassination because JFK was going to do him in. Can you imagine? I understand that David Ben-Gurion, the prime minister, had a nervous attack. He was put in the bed for several days when JFK wrote him a letter and said, we will be in Israel in 4 months, and we're going to, I'm going to have a general sent there. He will inspect your nuclear plants. We will make sure you're not, you know, making these nuclear bombs. He was going, I mean, this was a shock to Ben-Gurion. Now, who is Ben-Gurion? Oh, by the way, one other thing for you to know. The case files on Feinberg show that he founded the corrupt American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC.
Oh, really?
That's right.
So he's
That's
the right. godfather. I didn't know that.
The godfather of AIPAC is Abraham Feinberg. Now, on page 128, I have an interesting picture. And Feinberg says in his interview from the Harry Truman Museum, you can get it online, he said that he was very careful not to have pictures made with American presidents because it wasn't too good for politics. Now, he's saying this as an old man, 1976, 63, I mean. And he's saying, but he had this picture made with Truman as Truman was arrived at Penn Station with his wife, Bess. And there's Bess, and she looks frightened. She's not happy at all. On her left side, looking over her shoulder, is Abraham Feinberg. Now, there's Truman all smiling.
He's like right there.
But his wife is deaf, and she has on a brand new mink coat.
Uh-oh.
And she's carrying a dozen red roses given to her by Feinberg.
What a guy.
What? What a guy. She gets a fur coat. You know, Bess was known as a very plain person. She lived in a little house in Independence for the rest of her days.
Yeah.
She didn't like the White House and all of the social things. She was a, you know, just a regular housewife. And Harry himself didn't have a college degree. You know, and he sort of sometimes felt he was a little inferior. And here she is looking totally frightened with this Jewish spy looking over her shoulder.
What a scene.
And it's a picture. It's absolutely priceless. It's amazing.
That's almost as good as LBJ's wink aboard Air Force One.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's an incredible.
Does that tell?
No,
I mean,
words need to be spoken at times
like
that.
None. That photograph tells really the end of America. That photograph to me was the death knell of America. JFK is dead. LBJ is taking over. That was the end. And the wink, we got it.
We got now. Abraham Feinberg mentions these presidents. He said he did not have good relations with JFK. Well, we understand why.
The funniest thing, yeah.
But he said his relations with Lyndon Johnson were almost as good as those with Harry Truman.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And so that's an interesting thing that boy, you know, you can tell who has been a betrayer of America. But it's fascinating to me that Abraham Feinberg gave this interview, and even though it's you know, his own words, and he tries to put the best spin on it, it's an indictment. And then you add that with the 2011 FBI report, you can see what happens. But it all goes back, I believe, to this fact that Israel is not a Jewish state. You cannot be both a Jewish state and a democracy.
That's right.
They want to be.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
what
Netanyahu was going to try to do with his new bill in the Knesset.
Uh-huh.
But the Knesset, they told him, boy, look, we're treading on...
That's thin ice, folks.
That's right. That's very thin ice. What are we going to tell the world? What are we going to tell the Arabs if we become a Jewish state?
Mm-hmm.
Up to now, you see, it's sort of like what the book Animal Farm.
Yeah.
Where, you know, all the animals took over the planet. They said, we're all the same.
Yeah.
But it seemed the pigs were the dictators. They were running the show, and the other animals went to them and said, well, if we're all the same, then why are you making all the decisions?
Mm-hmm.
The pigs looked at them and said, well, we're all equal, but some
are more equal,
equal than others.
Yeah.
So this is the deal here.
We'll be right back after this brief message. I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us, won't you? Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star.
Conspiracy of the 6-point star. If you don't have this book, well, you don't know everything there is to know about Israel, about the Zionists, about the Rothschilds, and the Jewish agenda for a global government and utopia. Conspiracy of the 6-pointed star. And what is that 6-pointed star? Of course, it's the Jewish so-called Star of David, although, of course, David never used that, not in the Bible. You see, King David said, "My shield is the Lord." You want a shield, folks? You want something to defend yourself with? Well, he didn't need a symbol. He had the Lord directly. And the shield, the 6-pointed star, is a sign of Satan. In Acts, it's mentioned. It's the star of the god and goddess who represent ancient Egypt and Babylon. And it's coded with the number 666. Even Stephen talking about it in the New Testament, Book of Acts. Right before he was murdered as a martyr to Jesus, he exposed the 6-pointed star. Did you know that? It's in the Bible. Of course, it's also in the book of Amos. Because Amos, the Old Testament prophet, exposed the star of Moloch. Yes, the ancient god Moloch also had this same star. Throughout the history of mankind, practically, the star, the 6-pointed star, has been around. And I tell you about the history and the meaning for it. Remember, 666. Here we have that unholy, infamous number. It is staring at us in the face. It's on the flag of Israel. And I explore it in my book, Conspiracy of the 6-pointed Star. This is an astonishing book. Now I want you to have it. $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. Total of $30. For a big book. It's about the size of 2 or 3 regular books. It's a big book. It's a big study book. You'll love to study this book. And every day when you sit down to read that book, you're going to, you know, discover this. Got all kinds of pictures, photographs. It'll talk about how Israel became a state again in 1948. It wasn't God that made them a state. No. It was Joseph Stalin, the communist monster, and Harry Truman. On the very same day, within hours of each other, they cooperated and named Israel. The only thing was Truman tricked them. He deceived them. He said for millions of dollars in campaign contributions, if you'll bring that to my campaign train. He uses a train, you know, back in that year. He ran for office. They said you're not going to win. But the Jews told him, "You will win. We will give you the money to win if you promise us you will make Israel a nation. All you have to do is just do it." You see, the United Nations had already approved that there be 2 nations set up in Palestine. One for the Palestinian people and the other one for Israel. Well, then the United States and the Soviet Union got together and made Israel into a nation again. How did they do it? They just put out a letter, a statement, like an affidavit. And it said, you know, the United States hereby recognizes the new state of Israel. Signed, Harry Truman. That's all it took to make them a nation. Now, remember the United Nations in that same time, 1947, also said they had voted that there will be two nations set up, two states, Palestine and Israel. Well, why didn't Truman set up the nation of Palestine? It has not been set up even to this very day. Here we are at the very cusp, at the dawning of 2015. Now think about that. It's been 67 years. Why didn't we make Palestine a nation? It's because the Jews told us we're going to conquer the Palestinians once we get there with our nation of Israel. We're going to expand out. We're going to expand out and we're going to conquer the Palestinians. Then we'll own it all. We'll be both Palestine and Israel. They never intended for the Palestinians to be a nation. And so the United States and the Soviet Union never made Palestine a nation. We said, well, the United Nations wasted its time on Palestine. We're just concerned about Israel. But why were we concerned about Israel? Because Israel gave us millions of bucks in illegal campaign contributions. Brought it in suitcases full of money. Every train stop he made. I even tell you in my book who it was. His name, Abraham Feinberg, an American Jewish spy. He's the guy, and I quote to you Gore Vidal, the famous novelist. He knew of this horrible payment under the table to Truman. And John F. Kennedy. You know, John, he knew a lot. He knew his dad knew a lot about the seamy underbelly, let's just call it, of the United States. About the crooked nature of Israeli politics. He knew what they had done. But Truman says, you know, when it came time for him to recognize Israel, they brought in a letter to him. Here's the letter, Mr. President. You said, now we've already given you all this money, and you got your campaign coffers all lined with our Jewish money. You said if we would do that for you, you would approve Israel as a state. Here is a letter. And he looked at it. It said that Israel would become a Jewish state. He said, I never told you I'd make it a Jewish state. Truman told the Jews, I just told you I would make it a state. Not a Jewish state. We don't have states that promote religions, he said. And he took his pen and he lined through where it says on the little statement, Jewish state. He lined through it. And he signed his name and gave it to the Jews in his office. They were shocked. They said, Mr. President, you can't do this. We want you to make Israel the Jewish state. We don't want to be just another state in the Middle East. We want to be the Jewish state. Truman says, I've done what I've done. Take it or leave it. Go. He was sick and tired of the Jews telling him what to do. Well, they said, okay, you've got your presidency, but we'll never promote you again. You'll never win another. He was the only guy that could have run as many times as he wanted to, because it was in the Constitution that said that he could run as much as he wanted. Remember, his predecessor, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, won 4 times as president. Truman didn't even run again after that. He didn't run again. Why? The Jews wouldn't give him the money to run. He couldn't win. In fact, they call him the biggest anti-Semite they had ever seen. The man who made Israel a state again in 1948. He was the father of Israel. They secretly told him, you're finished. You did not make Israel a Jewish state. You shafted us. You stabbed us in the back. And even today, Benjamin Netanyahu has been trying to get his own legislature to pass legislation, the Knesset in Israel, making Israel what? A Jewish state. It's not a Jewish state to this very day. Think about it, folks. That's in this book, too. Now, again, total of $30, shipping and handling. By the way, this is the only book in the world that explains this. The only book in the world. I have secrets, unbelievable secrets in this book. That's one of them. I also have evidence about who caused Richard Nixon to be put down, to resign. It was the Jews. You'll read about the Jewish plot against Nixon and Agnew in this book. The only book to explain what happened to Nixon and his vice president as well. All about Watergate. There it is. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, total of $30 shipping and handling. Here's how to get it. Write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. You can phone us during the work week, 1-800-234-9673. Again, the book is Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. I'm Tex Morris. Now we're going to return to our program.
Now, this Ben Gurion, you mentioned it's a communist state. Let me prove your point, Jeff. You're so accurate on that. People don't understand. Now, communism, these Jews are very crafty. They didn't want to be called communists. They came from Poland. This was in 1948. Who owned Poland? Well, it was a communist country. And the head of the state was a communist Jew. He was a Jew. And he headed Poland.
So it was a communist. All under the aegis, of course, of Soviet Russia.
Exactly. And so it was a communist country. And when they went to Israel, their very first administration building in Tel Aviv was called the Red House.
Oh, my.
The White House.
Oh, yeah.
And they were the Red House because they were communist red.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Hold on. This is really a remarkable history lesson for all of us. Tex, again, has compiled more invaluable research than probably anybody else on the planet when it comes to dealing with the specifics we're talking about tonight. He really has, I don't know if they ever gave an award over there to their biggest nemesis. You'd win it. The Tel Aviv Award to the most terrible American, Tex Mars would win a hand at. You've exposed these people for what they are, what they're doing. They're anything but pious, religious, kind, moral people. I'm sorry to say it, and there are some very good Jews. We're not talking about you. We're talking about Zionism, which is a secular, non-religious movement of geopolitical conquest, subjugation, and control. Very simple. Nothing new. Go ahead.
Well, you're right. And let me tell you, this is the first time that these things have ever been discussed on radio. You're the man courageous enough to take them on, Jeff. Let me just say that. You know, you don't pay me one penny. I don't pay you one penny. We're both interested in the truth here.
That's right.
And these things are, I think they're known by some people, surely. But they're just not discussed. People are afraid of the Jews. They're fearful of them. And, you know, I'm 70 years old. So if they want to take me out, they can go ahead and do it, you know. But I'm going to get my licks of truth in before they do. By the way, David Ben-Gurion was the first prime minister. Wikipedia calls him known as Israel's founding father. Israel's founding father. Now, he was head of the World Zionist Organization in 1946.
Right.
And then he became head of the Jewish Agency. So these are the two most powerful lobby groups in the world, other than now, of course, AIPAC. So this is how powerful this guy was. But here's what you need to know about him. Even Wikipedia has, let's see, 7 citations in the references stating that he was a confirmed atheist. Now, think about it.
Ben-Gurion was a confirmed atheist.
That's right. He was a Marxist-Leninist. You see, communism you can't say, right? You can't say I'm a communist. He of course, was put there by Stalin, and he accepted that and went to the Red House in Tel Aviv and began to brutalize, as the communists did all of the Eastern European nations.
Yeah.
He began to brutalize the Palestinians. But he said, I'm a Marxist-Leninist. And listen to this. The famous politician, Shimon Peres, says in here that Ben-Gurion told him that his favorite politician was Vladimir Lenin because he said Lenin was decisive. So he was a Marxist-Leninist. Now, here's the whole thing. One of the Jewish Orthodox rabbis, one of the top rabbis, is named Yeshayahu Leibowitz. It says here in Wikipedia, page 7, that's my page, of course, Wikipedia, that he considered Ben-Gurion, quote, to have hated Judaism more than any other man he had ever met.
Unreal. Unreal.
He goes on to say that he felt that Israel needed the religious mystique for all the world's Jews to give money toward it and to agree to immigrate there.
Hustling their own people like they always do.
That's right. He was atheist himself. He was a Marxist-Leninist, a communist. But he agreed, even though he hated Judaism more than any man this rabbi had ever known, he hated it. By the way, Menachem Begin, another guy, a terrorist, who became prime minister a little later on, was known to be practicing Buddhism. Meditation and Buddhism.
You know, but gets funnier and funnier.
Yeah, interesting. But Ben Gurion, by the way, was not his real name. Ben Gurion also demanded that all of his military generals change their names and that they would take up Israeli or Jewish names.
Yeah.
They were all Polish. They all had Polish names.
Polish Khazars. Yeah.
They were Polish Khazars. Himself, his real name is David Green. You know, Green is a very big Jewish name.
Green, Greenbaum, Greenstein, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so David Green became David Ben-Gurion, and he caused all of his generals to have the Jewish...
By the way, the Ben-Gurion had a hyphen in it. This is like the New York mayor, de Blasio. He's changed his name three times, I think. Same thing. It's not his name, de Blasio. I guess maybe it is legally now, but he keeps changing his name. A lot of people in history do. What slimy stuff you're revealing here.
Yeah, it's really an interesting thing to me. One of the things that he helped to do, he worked very well. This is a shocker. This is a real shocker. I told you that he's a communist. He's a Marxist-Leninist. In 1945, David Ben-Gurion went to Paris, where he lived in a hotel. It just so happened at that hotel, also living there, was a man named Ho Chi Minh.
Oh, come on.
Ho Chi Minh.
What a coincidence.
Ho Chi Minh was the one we fought Ho Chi Minh, and he was the communist leader of North Vietnam, and then, of course, the whole country. He's dead today. But he and David Ben-Gurion became very close friends, living at the hotel, and they worked together on various communist matters. Now, this is an incredible thing. Now, this is from, Archive of the Jewish Agency, 8 November 1966. Ben-Gurion reveals suggestion of North Vietnam's communist leader. It turns out that in 1966, this just came out, by the way, in February of 2013, it says that Ben-Gurion revealed that he had personally worked with Ho Chi Minh there at this hotel in Paris, France, and that Ho Chi Minh had offered him land in Vietnam. If they would, you know, if he would help him to conquer the French forces that were that owned Vietnam at the time, and of course they would have worked, to conquer the Americans too later on.
Yeah.
But he said, "We will give you land so you can have an Israel in Vietnam." And David Ben-Gurion told him, how did he know this? We fully expect that Palestine will become the new state of Israel. And he thanked him for his suggestion.
Right. Thank you, but we don't need it.
Yeah, but you keep this in mind. Ho Chi Minh did not own Vietnam. It wasn't his land to give. You know, what did he kick out the French in 1954? This was in 1945.
That's a long time before. That's 9 years. Dien Bien Phu was a long way away. Wow.
They were all working together to make a new world order. And there was the coming communist head of Israel working with the communist head of Vietnam. And nobody knew about this. This was not even known until 10 February 2013. By the way, this is in Wikipedia. You can read it, footnote number 18. And I just fell apart when I saw that one. But maybe I can come on your show later and talk about Vietnam and some interesting elements there.
Oh yeah,
elements. But isn't it fascinating? These two commies work together. Now, Americans think that these guys are pious Jews. And the Christian evangelicals think that David Ben-Gurion, they probably think he was a wonderful Moses or some, another Abraham. Yeah.
What a sad, sad commentary on how duped and deceived and dumb they are.
Yeah, they really are. They know nothing. This Ben-Gurion evidently worked very close with Konrad Adenauer, who we made the head of the government
the
in Bonn,
Germany.
In West Germany.
Yeah.
And it says, Adenauer repaid his friendship with large sums of money in the reparations agreement between Israel and West Germany.
Yeah, yeah.
This is in compensation, you know, for the Nazi persecution of the Jew during the Holocaust.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
hey, Ben-Gurion is not a little guy. He was named by Time magazine as one of the 100 most important people of the entire 20th century.
He also told John Kennedy, "You will not inspect Dimona. You will not set foot in this country without my permission. You will not look for nuclear weapons programs, because what we do with our nuclear program is our business." Kennedy said, "No, sorry, David. We will be inspecting. There will be mandatory inspections to make sure you're not building nuclear weapons." That was one of the things that led up to JFK's murder.
Oh, these guys are in it. And, you know, to think that, boy, the only president that really stood up was Jimmy Carter. He stood up to these people somewhat. And Truman, by the way, an interesting thing about Truman is that, you know, he could have run for president again in 56.
Yeah.
But he was told by, Mr. Feinberg, who visited him in the White House.
Well, sure. They got
and
him
told
out.
Truman, because he had ended the Morgenthau Plan early for Germany, that the Jews would not support a second term as president. And Truman announced he was going to retire, and he went back to Independence, Missouri. They also told Truman he would not get any speaking fees. He would never get a cent in honoraria. He would live in that little house, and he did not die a rich man. I guess his wife...
No, Independence, Missouri. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, LBJ, remember, suddenly chose not to run for another term, too, but that's another story.
Yeah.
That's another story. Up to his eyeballs in the JFK murder, that guy.
Boy, what, weren't they?
Yeah. Tex, it's all amazing, and you have such wonderful information. I hope people will go to your website and look at the bookstore, the DVDs. This is real history. It's not the contrived Zionist history that is force-fed to the sheep over here and anywhere else that they happen to be catering to. It's real history, and you've earned my highest accolade as a humanitarian and a true, honest-to-God patriot. What you've done and what you're doing is so important. Anytime you want to come on, I mean, if you don't have to wait till the next month, if you want to come on in a couple of weeks, if you've got something red hot, just let me know. We'll make it happen.
Well, I'll sure do that, Jeff. And I appreciate your courtesy and I really,
of course.
Your honesty and integrity is really something. Yeah. But, you know, we've known each other for years. I've known that of Jeff Rentz. So I appreciate it very much. And we're going to keep this going here. Just as long as we can. We'll see what happens.
Yes, sir. All right, Tex. You be well. Take good care, my friend.
Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye.